Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
It's well known among Christians that Ephesians chapter 5 offers many meaningful and helpful words for married couples embarking on life's journey together. It reads in verses 31 and 32, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they too shall become one flesh." But far beyond its value for our married life, it actually reveals the longing deep within the heart of God for a counterpart for Christ. "This mystery is great," Paul continues, "but I speak with regard to Christ and the church." To understand this aspect more fully, we need to return to the very first pages of the Bible in Genesis chapter 2. "And Jehovah God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And Jehovah God built the rib which he had taken from the man into a woman and brought her to the man." What did Genesis 2 and Ephesians 5 reveal regarding God's eternal desire? That's what we'll explore in our life study today. Francis Ball has joined us for this, a program I have some anticipation for, Francis.
Well, I have some anticipation for this program also, because this mystery is great. And it dates back to the very beginning of the book of Genesis and brings us up to near the end of the Bible in Ephesians chapter 5. And there's a wonderful, marvelous relationship between the type that we have in Genesis 2 and the reality that we have in Ephesians 5.
Francis, I think for anyone who has read a book that Watchman Nee wrote many years ago called The Glorious Church, this will be a good and very fresh review for anyone who's never heard this before. I think they're in for to say it's a treat is almost a trite way to put it. There's far more than that. The light that is here regarding this type, as you refer to it, of Adam and Eve, and how it will show us in great vivid detail the really intimate relationship, organic relationship between Christ and the church. This is really marvelous, isn't it?
This is marvelous, and this is a revelation of God's eternal desire.
I think that the key, of course, to realize the connection here in this type, it's helpful if we look back in Genesis 2 and continue on the next couple of verses following the ones we read a moment ago. After Adam was put to sleep, after the rib was taken from his side, we'll see a lot about that rib today. But the verses continue, "When he awoke, and the man said, 'This time this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, because out of man this one was taken. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.'" Quoted, of course, by Paul in Ephesians. But it is so critical to see what came out of his side is what produced his bride, his counterpart.
I think that's the marvelous thing here, Chris, because what came out of his side in the case of Adam, when God put him to sleep, took a rib from his side, which was a bone, and from that bone a woman was built to be a match for him.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a marvelous thing. When we look back at the whole procedure there, we realize that God brought all the animals and even the fowls before Adam, and he named them all, but there was not one animal or one created being that matched Adam. So, actually, this match came out of his own side.
Right.
And the fact that a rib was used, I think we'll see something marvelous in this, that a rib was used out of which he built the woman.
Let's join Witness Lee, Francis. As I said, I'm looking forward to this program, so let's get to it.
All of us do know that husband and wife are a type of Christ and the church. And I believe nearly all the Christians know this. But most Christians know this in a very, very superficial way. And their knowledge regarding this doesn't affect their life. That is too poor. The first couple in the Bible, Adam and Eve, gives us a very significant full picture of Christ and the church. You have to get on Genesis 2 concerning Adam and Eve. There you could see God didn't create a man and a woman at the same time, in the same way. No. God only created a man, firstly forming his body with the dust, then breathing the breath of life into his nostrils, and then he became a living soul. After God created man, God brought all things, like birds, the cattle, and the animals, to Adam. And Adam looked at every item. This indicates that within Adam there was a desire to have someone to match him, to have one to be his counterpart. And the Bible says, after all, he didn't find one that can match him. The animals surely cannot match a man. So God caused him to sleep. While he was sleeping, God opened his side and took out a rib. And God builded a woman with that rib. Here you can see some kind of transformation there. A piece of bone, a rib, eventually became a woman. And this woman, in life, in nature, even in form, just the same as the man. Then God brought this woman to Adam. And Adam looked at her. Then Adam said what? This time. That means all the foregoing times didn't have anyone that can be Adam's counterpart. But this time, this is my bone and this is my flesh. That means this time, here is one that can match me, that can be my counterpart. And then the two became one.
Francis, there's a lot here now that has been pointed out to us. I think we can pick up the type here a bit further. And so we kind of get a window there, don't we, as to where we're headed in terms of God using the husband-wife relationship as a type of what he's really after.
Right. This is really quite a marvelous picture. As a matter of fact, in Ephesians we learn this is a great mystery.
Yeah.
To refer to the husband and wife and related to the type of Christ and the church. This shows that God's intention in creating man in his own image and wanting man not to be alone, that there was necessity for another creature to come into the scene. But actually, it doesn't say that he created woman. It says he took a rib from the side of Adam, and out of that rib, he formed or he built a woman. It's interesting to see that this relationship now is one of building a match for Adam. And I think we'll see how this fits in with what the Lord Jesus Christ is in his relationship to his bride, to the church. By the way, a rib in this case is a type of the eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
This life has not ever been broken and cannot be broken. And we see in the book of Psalms, said a bone of him shall not be broken.
Right.
That means this is the eternal life of God, the divine life. And out of that bone, he formed or he built a woman that was a match to Adam. And this will show us that out of the crucified Christ and that release of his divine life, God is building a wife for his son.
Francis, a very helpful passage to pick that up is in John 19, which we'll look at in just a minute. But I wanted to at least comment and get your input. A point that may be too obvious, you know, almost as to be overlooked, but is worth coming back to, and that is that we had just come through this portion here where the Lord had brought all these creatures past Adam, indicating in Adam there was a kind of a longing for a counterpart, for a match. But he didn't recognize anything there that was a match, even though he saw some, no doubt, some beautiful creatures, right? Some of the creatures in God's creation are certainly beautiful, and that wasn't the problem. But no recognition that this is something of me, out of me, that he responded with, when, of course, when he was presented with Eve.
I really was interested in the way the Bible puts this. He says, this time it is.
Yeah.
If you put the emphasis on the is, you can realize that all the other times, it wasn't.
That's right.
But this time, it is. It is what? It's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man.
Okay, let's come back now to where we set up to get into this next section, and that is John 19:34. As you pointed out, the very element coming out of the side of Adam was that which God used to build his counterpart, his bride. And some significant items come out of the side of Christ, the real bridegroom, in John 19. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately there came out blood and water. Two items. With Adam, we just see the one, but now with Christ, we see the two. Mm-hmm. That will be significant, as we'll find out. Here's Witness Lee again.
You can realize some of the significances in this matter of Christ and the church. Number one, Christ cannot find his church in the whole universe, in any kind of lives, the cattle life, animal life, the bird's life. Christ cannot find his match, his counterpart. Then God calls him to sleep on the cross. When he was dying on the cross, in God's eyes, he was sleeping there. While he was sleeping there, his side was also opened. Not a piece of rib came out, but the water came out with the blood. Have you noticed that Genesis 2 doesn't say the blood? Why? By that time, sin has not come in. So there was no need of the blood. But in John 19, when the Lord Jesus slept on the cross, sin came already. So God, by one action, did two things. So not only the water came out, but also the blood. And the blood came out for taking away sin. But the water came out for producing the church. The water in John 19 signifies the flowing life of Christ. And that flowing life of Christ as the living water is just the eternal life. The eternal life was typified by a piece of bone. You know, it is also in John 19 that when the soldiers broke the bones of the two thieves, then they came to Jesus and they saw and they realized Jesus had died already. There was no need for them to break the bones of Jesus. And then the Bible says all his bones are preserved, not one piece broken. Well, in typology, the unbroken bone of Christ signifies what? Signifies the unbreakable eternal life of Christ. Adam's rib typified the eternal life of Christ, which is unbreakable. It is with this eternal life that the church is built. Now, here is a bride, a counterpart, prepared for Christ. And now Christ has the church to match him.
Francis, I'm sitting here just considering how much blessing there is to be able to hear these words and to realize God's word in such a way, such an opened way. The connection here between Genesis 2 now and Ephesians 5, when we incorporate this passage from John 19, it's unmistakable, isn't it, that this really is a picture of Christ being, in a sense, reproduced as the counterpart, as Adam was reproduced in Eve. How about these three elements, blood, water, and bone, that are incorporated in this type?
Yeah, with Adam, of course, a bone was taken out of him, and out of that bone, as we mentioned already, the woman was built. There was no mention of blood in Genesis 2,
right,
because there's no sin involved here. But who would have known to write this in such a way? Only God
exactly
could have put this into the writers of both the Old and the New Testament. But with Christ, when he was put on the cross, out of his side flowed blood and water. Blood for the forgiveness of the sins. But the water here takes the place, I would say, of the rib.
Right.
Because now we need something that flows. And the flowing water there is the flowing life of God into the believers to form them into the bride for Christ, into the match for Christ. Now, we saw, even in Psalm, that no bone of his would be broken.
Right.
And you think that this is something that somebody read and then know not to break his bones, but that's not the way it was. It was a marvelous prearranged account there that when he died on the cross, he gave up his life. It was not taken away from him. He gave it up as a sacrifice for our sins. And out of that sacrificed life, there's something came out of his side which was comparable, but an antitype to the rib in the Old Testament. Now here is the reality. Now it's water flowing out. Mm. That's the living life of God flowing out from the side of Christ. Now out of this flowing water that came out of his side, this bride for Christ is being built. So this water is quite significant.
And I've always appreciated in this portion, of course, the order here. The blood precedes the water, indicating that where the blood has gone, the water can now flow.
Yeah.
And, of course, the first thing that reaches us in salvation is the redeeming blood of Christ, and we praise him for that. But immediately, there comes the water.
Right. Without the water, there's no way to produce the bride.
Francis, let's go to the third segment, another aspect of this type being matched in Ephesians that we're seeing in Genesis. Of course, in Genesis, Adam and Eve become one flesh. In Ephesians and in the New Testament revelation, as it's pointed out in 1 Corinthians, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Christ and the church becoming one person spiritually. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Eve had one life with Adam. And she also had one nature with Adam. This signifies we, the church, are absolutely the same as Christ is, both in life and in nature. Look at men and female. Their images are the same. This indicates that the church not only has Christ's life, Christ's nature, but also Christ's what? Image. In other words, in life, in nature, in image, in stature, the church is exactly the same as Christ. Adam and Eve are two becoming one flesh, but Christ and the church are two becoming one spirit. Hallelujah. We can say, Lord Jesus, without the church, without us, you are just one half. No doubt, without you, we cannot be complete. Without you, Lord, we are just one half. But without us, you are neither complete. You are also half. Half matches half. Don't bring in your natural life to match Christ. The human life and human nature of ours are not adequate. They are altogether not in the same category as the life and nature of Christ. We must have the same one life and the same one nature and one same appearance, image, and one same stature that Christ has. We need to receive Christ as our life, that we may have His divine nature, and then we need to be transformed into the image of the Lord. From glory to glory, and we even need to have the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Francis, I think as we can relate to in our own marriage life, there's a genuine sense when you can say without your spouse, you're incomplete, you're only half. That's how a marriage really should be, and the complete person is the comes with the joining of these two halves together. Some people hearing this for the first time must think, oh, this is blasphemous. I think I heard him say, in a sense, God is incomplete without his counterpart. Let's talk about that so people understand what we mean and what we don't mean.
Well, we mean God's eternal purpose is to build a wife for his son, Christ. It's to make man the same as God in life and nature and even conform the regenerated man to the image of Christ, so he will match Christ exactly as a wife does to the husband. This is really marvelous, but to see this opens the whole Bible up to us
right,
in a way that we would never see without realizing what God's eternal purpose is and how he accomplishes that purpose. First, he puts the divine life into man. Of course, he takes away the sin that ruined man for God's purpose. And by taking away the sin, which is indicated by the blood that flowed from his side, then the water is out of his side to be the actual life that builds up this redeemed person. And this water, which is really the divine life flowing in by means of the word, by means of the prayer, and by means of contacting the Lord in our spirit, he's building us up to be a match for Christ. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 6:17, that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So this wedding or this marriage that's in God's plan for his son is a match. The match for him has been brought out of him and has been built up by him, by his very divine life, so that now this one, a corporate person, a corporate bride, is prepared by this life to be a match for Christ. So these two, Christ and the church, now must be seen not as two, but as one. Even Christ needs us as his other half. And certainly we need him to be our other half. Without this combination, we never see God's purpose fulfilled. God intends that we should be redeemed by the blood, we should be transformed and conformed by the flowing of the living water into our being so that we match Christ for that wedding day that's coming.
Francis, after seeing this, we can never say to us that this is any longer a great mystery. Yet in a universal sense, this is the great mystery of the universe, and this is what God's Word is revealing to his chosen people in the universe, isn't it?
It is. This is a marvelous mystery that has been opened up in the Word of God and by the Spirit.
Well, I cannot think of a more valuable resource than the printed life study to have, to get into, to be able to keep and refer back to in the years to come, because I believe, having heard this, you're going to want to share this with your friends, with your family, your co-workers, other believers that you fellowship with. This is such a marvelous point, and it's presented very clearly and concisely in the printed message. So please contact us. We'll let you know how you can receive it. It's in volume number 2 of this life study of Ephesians, and we do hope as well you'll join us as we continue in Ephesians 5 in this life study journey together. And for Francis Ball today, I'm Chris Weil. Thank you very much for listening.